In November, a doctor in China claimed he used a tool called CRISPR on embryos to design twin girls who were born immune to HIV. That left many wondering what kind of tool CRISPR actually was, how does it alter human genes, and is it okay to alter human genes? Several San Antonio researchers weigh in. TPR Bioscience and Medicine reporter Bonnie Petrie has a story.
In 2018, a San Antonio autism researcher announced an exciting discovery. Hae-Young Lee at UT Health San Antonio found she could reduce the repetitive behaviors associated with the disorder in mice by cutting a specific gene at a location researchers believe caused the habitual actions.
This is a breakthrough. This is actually the first time in the world that we were able to see that gene editing can actually reduce the symptoms of autism.
Gene editing. Merriam-Webster says to edit is to assemble something by cutting and rearranging, like I do every day with news stories. But Lee is cutting and rearranging DNA, the thing that makes us who we are. You can't even see it without an electron microscope. How can you cut it? Well, you use CRISPR, which brings us to the question we're here to answer. What is CRISPR?
Okay, so it started with yogurt.
Jenny Shea is a biology professor at UT San Antonio, and she and her students work with CRISPR in their research on epilepsy.
So CRISPR is a bacterial immune system. So you know how human beings, we have an immune system, and it protects us from getting the flu or getting a cold. So the bacteria, they're also trying to fight off things that will try to kill bacteria. So they have an immune system too. And that's what CRISPR is.
Shea wasn't able to tell me what clever scientist looked at a cup of yogurt one day and thought, I bet we could use that yogurt's immune system to edit our genes. But CRISPR is a modified bacterial immune system that includes an enzyme called Cas9 that can cut out pieces of our DNA.
What I think of it is it's molecular scissors.
Shea says researchers will select a gene they want to edit, and they'll sequence that gene's DNA to learn its unique alphabet. Then they program CRISPR with what they call guide RNA, a cousin to human DNA that recognizes DNA sequences, to seek out particular letters in that sequenced alphabet. They do that in Shea's UTSA lab.
So this lab is the molecular biology lab, so where CRISPR starts.
Then they put those programmed CRISPR molecules into cells with genes they want to change, and then they wait for it to work.
So just like scissors that can cut a piece of paper, the CRISPR finds the DNA alphabet, it kind of scans it, and then it can find a particular letter and cut it.
But here's the problem. CRISPR is kind of random. Say your DNA sequence included the word apple, and your doctor wanted to cut out the peas. CRISPR could do that. But what if your DNA has other, similar words like applesauce? CRISPR might cut out those peas too. But you might need those peas. That can cause real problems that are impossible to predict. Which is one of the reasons there was swift and resounding international condemnation when that doctor in China claimed to have used CRISPR to edit the genes of human embryos. There was universal agreement he shouldn't have done that. But there's absolutely nothing saying he couldn't do it, at least not yet. It's a little like Tombstone out there right now.
It really is the Wild West because the technology has outpaced our regulation. The ethics are themselves fledgling.
Dr. Jason Morrow is a professor of medical ethics at UT Health San Antonio. He says the efficiency that makes CRISPR so appealing to scientists is the very thing that has medical ethicists and regulators so far behind.
It's so cheap and fast that we can't regulate our way through this entirely. There are going to be, as it were, rogue clinicians and researchers and laboratories that are able to manipulate genomes without the oversight of the federal government.
But as it is right now, CRISPR isn't ready for use on human embryos. It's not just that it's currently an imperfect tool that can make serious errors, but any changes it makes to DNA are permanent. Your edited gene is now your gene forever, and it's the one you pass down to your descendants. Do you even have the right to choose changes for your not yet born children and grandchildren who can't agree to them?
We can all say, you know what, I would love to have my body cells edited while I'm a grown adult so that I can grow longer hair or be taller or maybe be resistant to certain viral infections. We could consent to that and at least be aware of the risks that we take on for ourselves. But future embryos cannot. Future bloodlines cannot.
Okay. Come on in.
Shay, who works with CRISPR every day in her research on epilepsy, agrees. There is great potential here to treat or cure serious illnesses, but scientists need to take it slow.
I want to emphasize how exciting CRISPR is from a research standpoint, because genes contribute to many, not just individual, you know, differences like blue eyes versus brown eyes, but also it's the cause of a lot of very devastating disorders. And so it would be exciting to have this powerful tool. But we just sort of feel that CRISPR, at the very least, there should be guidelines that get established.
And Lee, who made that breakthrough in understanding repetitive behaviors associated with autism by using CRISPR in mice, she also thinks scientists using the tool need oversight and guidelines. Meantime, her research continues, but she's not even close to taking that final step of altering the genes of humans. Bonnie Petrie, Texas Public Radio News.